It's showtime, folks. Welcome in to day number two, SEC Media Days, here in Atlanta at the College Football Hall of Fame. What's going on? I'm Chase McCabe alongside Big Joe Dubin. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier is back in America's Music City holding it down for us. And we're excited to be here for yet another day. All of our coverage is presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Also, with two other great locations, Highway 100 in Bellevue and on Charlotte Pike, on the west side, Brewhouse West. They got music bingo going on tonight, so looking forward to that at 7:30. Sad I'm going to miss it, but I'm excited to be here. What's going on, JoJo?
Oh, it's a fun day already, day two of SEC Media Days, and it's funny, Chase, the talk so far, because there's not a lot going on here, but Diego Pavia. I mean, it's still the talk.
Who?
Diego Pavia.
I thought you said Daniel. I was like, no, what? Who's Daniel Pavia? No.
Diego Pavia is still the talk of SEC media, and I love it because, you know, you hear from Greg McElroy later on, and Buck Ballew is going to stop by. And it's just, I think it's great, man. I heard you talking to Willie and Adam about the rock star Vanderbilt at SEC Media Day, and there's never been one. And the fact that folks are still talking about it the day after, it's really cool, man. Good for Vanderbilt.
Yeah, no, and look, it's something that they have desperately needed. That, you know, they haven't had before. And I mean, that's like, we, you know, I just, like you said, just went on with Willie and Adam and was like, they've never had that guy in football. I mean, I don't really think they've had that guy, period. I mean, they've had names, but not the, like, David Price didn't have that rock star aura. Yeah. He just was really, really good.
Yep.
You know, Sonny Gray, some of the baseball players, I mean, Shane Foster, Scottie Pippen Jr. maybe because of the name and who his dad was, but not to this level.
And it's funny because the guys we've talked to today, it's like he's refreshing because he comes in here saying, yeah, we're going to go 12-0, we're going to win these games, and it's that bravado.
And it's like, you're going to do what?
Yeah, and he's like, here's what we're going to do. I fully believe in it. And I love it. Instead of coming like, ah, you know, we might win a couple games here, a couple games there. He's like, no, we're going in with the attitude to win every game. So it's really good. You know what's interesting, Chase? Today they hand out the preseason all SEC ballot, right?
Yes.
So for me at quarterback, if when I fill that thing out, if it comes down to Diego Pavia and Arch Manning, who's done more? I know I keep beating this drum, but Diego Pavia has proved to me more on the field. Arch Manning hasn't beat Alabama.
No.
No, he hasn't. No,
Diego Pavia has.
He beat Louisiana Tech and Mississippi State. And damn it, Chase, you probably could beat both those teams too at quarterback. So it's going to be interesting to see how that comes out. Arch is going to be here probably already on the premises somewhere to do this. But it's still, for now, Vanderbilt and Diego is the talk.
So I haven't told this story yet because I wanted to wait until we were down here. So when we got everything set up for SEC Media Days, you have to call the office in the SEC and say, hey, we're going to be on Radio Row and all that stuff. And as we were hanging up, they asked everybody, okay, who's going to be the best quarterback in the league this year?
No.
And I was like, I was not ready for that question. And in my head, I'm like, half the teams are have a new quarterback.
Yeah.
And so I just go, Diego Pavia. And they just were like, wait, what? And I go, yeah, Diego Pavia, Vanderbilt. You're the only one that has said that so far. I'm like, watch.
That's good. Because everybody's bought – we all buy into the hype. I get all that. And the Arch Manning hype. I get the lineage and all that. But until I see something on the field, I'm – I mean, Garrett Nussmeier is the best quarterback. Talented-wise.
Sure.
Because he's 6'4", he's big arm and all that. But I'll take Pavia. Give me a quarterback. What was the story we were told about, you know, they get into the huddle and it's like, hey, when things break down, remember – Pavia told his teammates, he says, remember, when things break down, you got me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's good. That's really good.
I just – confidence is everything.
Yeah.
And the kid has it.
He does.
You know, and is it borderline cocky? Sure. But I think you need some of that, especially in this league and what they've been able to put together. So, yes, let's see. Auburn has gone. Georgia, I think,
has gone.
I think they went earlier. They're here. We know that Tennessee will be speaking. Josh Heupel. We are planning to have Josh Heupel join us here at the table. That will probably take place during Stillman and Company. But when that happens, we will come here live with that. And then Texas, as you mentioned, Steve Sarkisian will be speaking, and Arch Manning as well. And so that it is a full house. You know, day one, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
But it's still, even with 16 teams now, it's still kind of the ramp up. Tuesday, fast and furious.
Yeah, getting it going on. And right now, Hugh Freeze was talking to the media down. There's a lot going on with Hugh Freeze at Auburn about this whole I'd rather be golfing than recruiting thing that's going on right now. That's really infuriated a lot of Auburn fans. And we know what's going on there. But, you know, again, you know, it's Texas and it's Georgia. It's Alabama, it's LSU, it's all the particulars. But we talk about those middle-of-the-run teams with South Carolina. How's Missouri going to do? I mean, there's all this unknown now, which is great because South Carolina's got a good quarterback. LSU's got a good quarterback. Alabama right now doesn't. Georgia right now doesn't. Arch is still improved. There's a lot of questions for 2025 that I love. It's not cut and dry that Alabama's going to be here in Atlanta in December. Nobody knows.
Yeah. So a couple of this is what we got going today. Mike Griffith, who covers Georgia and the whole SEC, appears on the Feinbaum Show. He's going to join us in just a few minutes to kick things off. At the bottom of the hour, Drew Fabianich, who is the new director, executive director of the Senior Bowl, replaced Jim Nagy, will join us here live. So looking forward to that conversation with him. Greg McElroy going to join us at the top of the next hour at 1 o'clock. I'm having to do the Central Eastern thing in my head. So we'll have that going. Buck Ballew, the Georgia quarterback. Let me tell this story. So Buck's been on with me before, does radio at 680 The Fan here in Atlanta, and we're just sitting here kind of looking around, figuring out, you know, who we're going to try and grab, because that's how a lot of this goes on Radio Row. You just go up to people and grab them, and I look over and I go, hey, look, Joe, it's Buck Ballew. And you were speechless for which is unusual for you.
Right.
You thought, like, oh, my God, it's Buck Ballew.
You thought I was going to go tackle that man.
So, well,
I love the history of the Southeastern Conference in football. I love the history, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and he's a big part of Georgia's 1980 National Championship team. So when you pointed him out, I was done.
So he will join us looking at it at like 1:30. And also last night, we had the opportunity to get an advanced screening of the new SEC documentary that's coming out on Netflix called SEC Football Any Given Saturday. It was fantastic, the first episode of it. I believe it's a 7-part series. Paul Martin, who's the producer of that, also has been behind the F1 series, Drive to Survive, Full Swing, which is the golf. He will join us later in the show to talk more about that documentary. I will tell you that after watching that first episode, you all are going to love it. It was fantastic.
And we saw something in that documentary last night about the SEC that you've never seen before.
Yeah.
And it goes back to Diego Pavia.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm telling you, my friends, when we run this interview, listen to the access they got when Vanderbilt beat Alabama. That was totally unexpected. And they had the behind-the-scenes camera of that entire week. And he tells us the story about that. And that's another thing, is that Vanderbilt would never get in these documentaries.
No.
And now they're front and center.
No. And the other thing on that is I think you've kind of seen Clark Lee have to change his mantra a little bit and how he operates, because, you know, he's not wired that way. That's not him. He's just business, and nothing wrong with that. But I think Diego's brought a little bit of that out of the head coach, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, it has. And you see, we brought up Diego to Clark Lee yesterday, and he sat up in his chair, started talking about
it. Well, I interacted with both of them as they were kind of wrapping up the day. They ran into each other and hadn't seen each other all day.
That's great.
And coach is like, how'd it go? And Diego's basically like, yeah, I got this. You know, you know how it went. Like, it was fine.
I took a picture of the overhang that's here at the College Football Hall of Fame, which is fantastic, of Diego doing his kind of his press scrum that was going on. It was packed right around the table. So it was kind of a unique perspective to see how many people gravitated towards Diego Pavia. But this is fun, man. There's a lot of people here, and we got a packed show.
We do, and I will say I'm going to promote this a lot tomorrow. At 12:45, live on the show, Commissioner Greg Sankey will join the program. So we have that all set up. We will have the commissioner on. There is obviously a lot to talk about, to ask him about. We probably won't be able to cover it all because you know we'll have to cover his friendship with Sean Henry, which is hard hitting stuff.
Right.
But no, so we look forward to having the commissioner on with us. We are live at Radio Row again. Special scheduled this week, Chasing Big Joe on noon to 3. DVD went ahead of us, and then Jared doing 3 to 6 this week so we can bring you this great coverage. We'll also be back on at 6 o'clock tonight with even more. Chuck Oliver is going to join the program during the 6 o'clock hour. So, I mean, we got so much set up. But coming up next, Mike Griffith, he will join the show. You see him and hear him on Paul Feinbaum, also works for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and Dogs Nation. We'll talk some Georgia and SEC with him coming up next in all of our SEC Media Days coverage here on Radio Row in Atlanta is presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Experience Nashville's ultimate sports and brew hangout at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Also two other great locations, Highway 100 in Bellevue and Charlotte Pike, Nashville West. Music Bingo with Phil tonight at 7:30. Check it out. More coming. SEC Media Days, 102.5 The Game. Here. Joe Live Radio Row, SEC Media Days 2025 in Atlanta. All of our coverage presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. And excited to talk to Mike Griffith from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and Dog Nation. Talk some Georgia Bulldogs. Mike, what's going on? How are you?
Yeah, man, I'm good. You know, great event. A lot of excitement in the air. Obviously, Arch Manning going today. Got a third-generation legacy player. Got to talk to David Cutcliffe earlier. You know, obviously, Tennessee iconic offensive coordinator, championship coach. Really a Manning, you know, kind of the Manning god, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Coach Peyton and Eli, and he's here to see Arch. And it's something about SEC football. You know, every time of year this comes around, the bug bites. And, you know, here we go. Get your preview magazines, read your local newspapers, you know, check out the radio shows and grab your item of interest. It's just going to take off from here.
Now that Nick Saban is retired, has Kirby kind of taken that mantle of kind of being the guy that speaks for the coaches?
You know, to some extent, I mean, you know, those Nick Saban shoes can't be filled. You know, there's
sure.
just too many titles. And but in terms of, you know, respect in the room, there's no doubt that Kirby demands that. You know, you hear Lane Kiffin, you know, playing up to him quite a bit. You know, Kirby's a no-nonsense guy. I don't think Kirby necessarily wants to run in front of the microphone or the camera, but there are certain initiatives that are really important for college football. And we're in an area right now where it's wavering a bit. Right, where we're starting to see the sport get stratified and pulled in many different directions. You know, we're talking about things that college football fans really don't want to hear about. They don't really want to hear about the NIL deals. They don't really want to hear about the bureaucracy and Congress getting involved and what needs to happen for players to be paid and Olympic sports to be protected. That's not why they're tuned in. They want to hear the fight song. They want to see the mascot. They want to know about who's the starting quarterback and the linebacker. And you got to be careful not to alienate your audience, but at the same time, you got to tell people what they need to know to stay informed. And for coaches, they have to maintain a certain amount of leverage to coach these guys. You know, I was talking with T. Martin, you know, speaking of Tennessee icons, and, you know, T's now in the NFL, and he says, you know, if you're not careful, you're not preparing these guys right for the NFL. Because when you show up in the NFL, there's no time to play. There's no time for complacency. You're not on a four-year deal. They'll cut you tomorrow. You have one bad day, you're out, not for long league. And you're going to see that life expectancy shorten more and more if these players aren't prepared properly. And ultimately, isn't that supposed to be the goal?
Yeah.
If you really want to dial this back to college football? So there's a lot going on, and Kirby's not afraid to get in the front of the room and talk about things like one portal. Instead of two, the tampering is real, right? Look at the Ohio State roster last year. How many, Caleb Downs, the Alabama centers out there, Kansas State quarterbacks out there, you know, Ohio State, the poster child for everything wrong, right? They're fourth place in the Big Ten, and yet somehow they're hosting a playoff game. And I'm not saying that Tennessee would have beat them in Neyland Stadium, but you're telling me Tennessee didn't deserve to host that game over a team that just lost by double digits that's in fourth place in their league? That's an outcry. So now we got to talk about the college football playoff selection committee and how they rank teams and maybe what influx of common sense we might have with Ivan Mazel and Mark D'Antonio joining that staff and hopefully doing a little bit better job in the selection process. And oh, by the way, what does the playoff look like after this year? Do we go from 12 to 16 right now? Big Ten, SEC stare down on which model we go with. Big Ten trying to dictate. SEC adds another game. SEC saying, look, you don't don't have the inventory of good teams
right.
we do.
Yeah. Right.
Convenient argument for you, but does the Big Ten, you know, wave a big enough stick to get their way, or does Sankey say, you know what, we're just going to stay with 12 then. We'll stay with 12. If you're going to try to demand that we go with a nine-game schedule to go with a 5-11 model where you have 11 at-large teams and theoretically a better field because you have higher-ranked teams in versus the heavier automatic qualifier model that the Big Ten wants.
Yeah.
So, again, talking about a lot of stuff, fans are going, my brain's spinning, Mike, too much. I just want to know how good's Georgia going to be. Georgia's playing at Tennessee. Who's going to win? But we're so far off that track because yep. the earth is shifting. This is the climate change of college football.
Yeah,
it's all of it's changing at once, and it's hard to keep up with, Joe.
Yeah, we're talking to Mike Griffith from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Dog Nation. All right, we talk about that week three, Georgia goes to Tennessee.
Yeah,
I think that makes Tennessee's season. They beat Georgia, they're rolling. It could be very bad for either team. How do you see this shaping out? Or
well,
do we know?
Well, first we'll say this, and we've known for decades, and Doug Dickey would tell us that, you know, the coaches were evaluated at Tennessee based on how they did against Georgia, Florida, and Alabama. And let's give Heupel credit. He's taken care of business for the most part against Florida. He's beaten Alabama. Something hadn't happened in a long time. Georgia's the one that's got away. Got to go back to Butch Jones and that Josh Dobbs Hail Mary. What a magical moment that was. And now Juwan Jennings obviously coming to fruition with the San Francisco 49ers. I know a lot of folks in Middle Tennessee like seeing that.
Oh, yeah.
But it is a big game for both teams, and there's a lot of questions to be answered. Now, Tennessee's going to have a little better barometer where they're at. I think that Syracuse opener is tricky. I think Fran Brown is a really good coach, and you know he's going to give Kirby a call on the Josh Heupel offense. So Fran Brown's going to have a pretty good game plan. I don't know if he's got the players, but that's a good litmus test for Tennessee to kind of find out who they are. Georgia, meanwhile, plays a Marshall team with more than 60 new players and a new head coach, right? I'm not saying they just, you know, roll the ball out and win, but they roll the ball and win. Then they play Austin Peay, and, you know, tip of the cap to Austin Peay for playing that game. Great experience for the kids. No chance in hell. So Georgia's going to have two blowout games going into that. They don't know who they are
right.
until they play. And that's a very good Tennessee defense. I know when we talk about Josh, we talk about his offense and how explosive they've been. But the Tennessee defense is what's steely. And that's going to be one heck of a test for Gunnar Stockton. Going in there, seeing the checkerboard, and they're doing the checkerboard for that game.
Yep.
Neyland Stadium, vertical crowd. I mean, it is in a very intense place to play. That's going to be Gunner's first true test this season. And we're going to find out a lot about both teams. Joey Aguilar, right?
Yep.
The Tennessee quarterback.
Yeah.
Who is he? Who are you really? This is your moment, your oil-pointing chance to do something special. And to your point, Joe, if Tennessee can win that game, it really sets the stage for the season.
You do a lot of hits on the Feinbaum Show. We're talking to Mike Griffith from Atlanta Journal-Constitution. When you get on there and you talk about all the college football, I mean, does it put you to a next level as far as what you do and your coverage and talking to people? Because that's a prime spot there, Mike.
Yeah, you know, it's been 9 years. And, you know, I think about when it started, it was during the Butch Jones era. And, you know, back in the day, and it's still true to this to an extent, and I like it. You know, I like, you know, they'll do a little clip of you here, a little clip of you there. They were the masters at finding that the 30 seconds when I sounded dumber than anybody in the room. and sometimes they would set me up. You know, they said, Paul would say something like, give me one good reason why John Curry would keep Butch Jones. And I would say something like, well, you know, their offense broke David Cutcliffe's record, and Butch, you know, has done this, and that would be what they would play. They're like, well, and Mike Griffith, he thinks they ought to, now, wait a minute. That's not how that was brought up. You asked the one good reason, and Tennessee fans are like, throw stuff at Mike. He wants Butch. No, that's not what I said. But, yes, to your point, you know, the conversations with Paul have been fun. You know, I've learned not to, it's like sparring, right?
Right.
And I've learned not to get beat up, right? I've learned when the right hook's coming and the uppercut, and I kind of go in there with a game plan. Now it's like, okay, I got to be ready for Paul. It's like getting on an airplane. Is there going to be turbulence or not? If there is, now I know when to look out the window. I look at the turbulence report before I get on. Is he in a good mood? What kind of show is it going to be? And I bring a little bit of material to the table as well. So it's been a lot of fun. Those conversations are never rehearsed. I never know what's coming. It's very authentic and off the air. We don't really talk a lot. You show up, you put the sparring gear on, you go, you leave the ring, and we have a lot of fun. And And obviously, there's always a lot of things to talk about with the SEC, yeah, Georgia especially.
I appreciate you doing this. Getting you on is harder than getting Taylor Swift on.
Oh, yeah. Come on, man.
But we appreciate you. We talked yesterday, man. I love what you do. Thank you for your passion for football and everything else.
Well, thanks for what you do, too. I mean, you got a great social media presence. You got a great message. You're very entertaining, extremely well-established. And it's fun for me to follow, right?
Yeah.
I don't have time, and you guys know this, in the media. We don't really get to watch each other's work enough or see each other enough. But, Joe, I've really followed you on social media. I think
you do
incredible work. Your stuff is creative and it's fun and it's very uplifting. And that's a very positive thing that we all could use more of. So you want to know who media guys follow? It's a pretty good indication. I follow Joe on all the social medias I can, and obviously radio.
Check's
as well.
Coming, brother.
I will not be able to get him through the door with that. So thank you. Thank you for that. Mike, thanks so much for doing this. Appreciate
thanks, guys. Appreciate Chase.
Mike Griffith joining us here on the program. SEC Media Days rolls on, presented by Brewhouse South and Cool Springs. 102.5 The Game. Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Tuesday. We're live on Radio Row. Our SEC Media Days coverage is presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. We're excited about our next guest, the Panini Senior Bowl, which takes place every year in Mobile, Alabama. Drew Fabianich, I hope I said that right. Oh, well, let me hit it. It would help if I unmuted
there. There we go.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, and again, let me ask you guys this, because I'm kind of a neophyte to this. Why is it not Radio Row, and why do they call it Digital Drive?
I don't know. In old habits die hard, because I keep saying Radio Row.
Is it Radio Row?
Pretty much. I mean, there are a lot of podcasts and video and all that stuff now, but, you know, it's still Radio Row, is it?
Because we're going to continue to call it Radio Row down at the Senior Bowl.
Good. Yes.
We are.
You, the new executive director of the Panini Senior Bowl. I know you were telling us it was about April that became all official, but what's it been like being on the job the last few months?
I really, truly did not know how much the Senior Bowl was involved in everything community-wise. I mean, there's every initiative from, donating $5,000 to every single high school within the area from the Senior Bowl charities. We had the whole, as soon as I got down there, we had the draft party. And then a week and a half later, we had the induction of the Senior Bowl Hall of Fame. And then right after that was the Senior Bowl Golf Tournament, which is the second biggest charity golf tournament in the state of Alabama.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. And tons of celebrities, tons and tons of, you know, money that was raised. We worked on the new, you know, title sponsorship. I'm working with Nike to extend our contract. We hired three full-time people over that span of time. And then we just had called MPAT, and what it is, it's Mobile and Baldwin County. We had the head coaches send out their top leader of their football team as a senior, and we did a conference over leadership last week. And now up here for this, and then I'm going to the ACC next week. I'm sending my right-hand man, Jack Gilmore, to the Big Ten, because I know less coaches in the ACC than I knew in the Big Ten, so we're kind of trying to split up and cover at the same time. So to answer your question, there's a lot that goes on that people don't understand.
Yeah.
And even the people that I've known for a lot of years, even like when I was a GM at Auburn, I saw some of the people from Auburn today. They go, "Oh, you're living in Mobile?" I was like, "Yeah, why wouldn't I?" I mean, you know, they thought it was like, "Hey, you got a game and that's it. You pick players and that." No, I was like, there is so much more to this than people actually understand. And it's really, the city has embraced the game and made it their own. And if you guys hadn't ever been, I mean, I suggest you go, just because, I mean, heck, playoff game will be on the next weekend and all that, and, you know, you'd be busy and all that, but it's sold out for the last 2 years straight. And there's not any other all-star game that could ever say that, not ever, that is sold out. So it's important to the community. It's important to the area. I mean, it's the closest thing they've got to pro football, because there's no pro football in the state of Alabama. So it's either Auburn or Alabama. That's bottom line. So... But I probably said too much.
You've been a coach. You've been a scout. You mentioned you've been a GM in college football.
Yeah.
So how do you take all of those experiences and use that now to run one of the most important games there is, practices, however, events in helping decide a young man's future?
Well, you know, I think that everything that I did do and every skill set that I developed, I use to this day in this game, you know, because truly I'm recruiting players. I really am.
Yeah.
I'm evaluating players, right? I mean, I'm a salesman. Sure. I'm a contract negotiator. I work with agents. I mean, I wore a lot of hats throughout my career in coaching and personnel and being a GM. Well, all those serve me well now because I use every single one of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, the easiest piece to me, you know, and I'm not being pompous, but the easiest piece is going to be picking the players.
Right.
That's the easiest piece. Who do I truly want and who do I think is worthy? That's going to be the easiest piece of this. The other pieces are going to be the harder part, you know, dealing with the agents, dealing with, you know, the player that, you know, hey, you know, maybe I don't want to play, you know, because, you know, whatever. I mean, there's going to be a lot of things that I'm going to have to be a salesman with. I'm going to have to be a recruiter. I'm going to have to, you know, negotiate with them. I mean, now, am I going to negotiate and pay them? Hell no. I mean, because, you know, this isn't about an NIL.
There's enough of that going on.
Yeah. I mean, again, this is about the value that you gain from playing in the Senior Bowl.
Yep.
And just off of last year's, the biggest example last year, and we posted this, like, I think about 2 weeks after I was there, the Zabel kid, the offensive lineman from North Dakota State that played in the game last year. Well, he had a really good week, right? And he had a really good game. Well, the league had projected him as a high third round. Well, he goes 18th pick in the first round. If you look at the four-year contract value and that difference in those slots, $12.7 million.
Wow.
Okay. So, again, what's my selling point? You probably should play.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I mean, you probably should practice. You probably should go. And again, like you said, it's the premier all-star game. That's what attracted me. Always has been, always will be. And it's never moved.
I mean,
it started out in like Jacksonville, I think, but then it, like for 1 year, and then it's always been in Mobile. I won't even mention the other bowl games, but it's funny. They never stay in the same place because no other place supports them like this. I mean, they don't. The city is nuts about this, and it's really theirs. I'm just kind of the steward of it.
Yeah.
But it's really the city's game. It really is.
I love it. I know we're talking to Drew Fabiana. She's executive director of the Panini Senior Bowl. I was going to ask you, Drew, why the game matters. You just explained why the game matters.
Well, yeah.
You took a question from me.
Yeah, well, I mean, and again, that's why I have to tell people that, because they think it's just like, oh, you know, it's not that big a deal. No, it's the first piece of the puzzle when you're evaluating a player, you know, because this isn't the underwear Olympics. This isn't the combine.
Right.
I mean, there's still guys hitting you in the face.
Love it.
So it's still a game. And I'll say this to you guys, and I've said this to a lot of guys that know ball. Pass rush, one-on-one, defense, you win 90% of the time, okay? One-on-one, receivers, DBs, receivers, you win 90% of the time because it's almost virtually on air because you have so much space to work with. It's not game-related. Well, why would you think that would be more important than playing in the game? It's not. And that's what agents and players have to understand, too.
Yeah.
You know, just because you perform in a one-on-one situation, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, it's still play with 10 other hats out there.
I want to see the game.
That's right.
I want to see you in. Yeah.
Yeah. And Bill Parcells always said this. When we would pull a guy, we'd say, okay, we got a cut-up ready. He go, no. Don't want to see a cut-up. I want to see him playing against the best person that he faced all year. I want to see that. Well, guess what? You got on Mobile, that's who you're going to be lining up against. You're going to be lining up against the best in the country. You know, every single snap.
Right.
Every single rep. Instead of fishing around, I mean, because put it this way, my first year, we took DeMarcus Ware. Well, no, I'm sorry. My third year, we took DeMarcus Ware. Well, he didn't really play a lot of people, you know, his senior year. I mean, there wasn't an Ohio State and a Michigan on there. There weren't. Well, we go down there, and Bill tells the defensive line coach, bump him out to a 9 technique, stand him up, right? Let's see if he can rush standing up. We take him as 10th pick in the first round after that week. You know, so, I mean, was that valuable to him?
And he worked out pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
He did good.
For the Cowboys and the Broncos.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, one of the great stories is, I think it was Michael Strahan went to the Senior Bowl in 92 or 93, destroyed all these great D1 players. It's like, oh, this guy is good. Because he was able to go against
in pads and not in Indianapolis, some combine against other. So these stories are fantastic, Drew, because look at what Strahan, pretty damn good, right? Mm-hmm. And go on and on. All these great stories.
And who do you play? Who do you play at Texas Southern?
Us? I mean, nobody, right?
And I'm not bashing HBCUs, but again, that's not Georgia. That's not flipping Alabama.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's incredibly important, and the league thinks it's very important because, again, if you the East-West was bumped up with us in that last year, right? Well, they said that after 2 days, everybody came here to the Senior Bowl because they didn't need to see any more up there. They just stayed for two practices and left. Well, they came down here for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
I mean, and again, that tells you something about what the league thinks of it.
I mean, Yeah, exactly. You coached the University of Tennessee.
Yes.
90-93, and I was telling people down here, I will die on the hill that Andy Kelly's the greatest Tennessee quarterback in my lifetime. People love Peyton. You were there from 90-93 with Andy Kelly. That was you won an SEC title in 90, and you're smirking about my Andy Kelly remark. Because you had Heath Shuler come after that, and then Peyton. But I loved Andy Kelly, Drew. Loved him.
Loved Andy Kelly, too. But I had and David Cutcliffe will tell you this, I had a big hand in getting Heath Shuler with him. We spent a lot of time getting Heath. Heath was the biggest recruit in Tennessee history at that point.
Yes.
And he worked out pretty well, too. You know, so, and again, now Peyton worked out better.
Right.
You know, but, you know, for as far as a college quarterback go, Heath was pretty good. Andy was pretty effective, too.
Yep.
You know, so, I mean, again, it's, you can toss up however you want.
I just love it.
Hey, here's one that people don't remember, though. Can you name the three running backs who were there at the same time?
Which year?
That
the 1991?
93.
So Aaron Hayden, Aaron Hayden, Gentleman James Stewart, and Charlie that played for the Eagles. I can't remember his name.
Raiders too.
Charlie Garner. Ah. Damn it, Drew.
All three there at the same time.
I'll take your 90 receivers with Alvin Harper, Carl Pickens and Terrence Cleveland.
Yes.
You had some boys.
Yeah,
man.
Dirt?
Good.
You know, that's Terrence Cleveland's nickname.
Was it? Oh, I didn't know
dirt.
That.
Yeah, Dirt.
Oh, I didn't know that, yeah.
Yeah, Dirt.
Pretty fast.
Yeah, pretty fast. But not like Anthony Morgan, though.
No.
That was world class.
Yep.
I mean, world class speed. Carl was probably, I mean, think about this, too. Now, you can flash forward that 94, correct me if I'm wrong, it was two AFC Rookies of the Year from the University of Tennessee.
Oh, really?
Carl Pickens and Dale Carter.
92, I'm sorry. Yes. 92, yeah. 92,
But same year, right?
Yes, yep. Yes. Dale Carter, that's right.
Yes.
What a loaded team. How much, gosh, Drew, you got another 4 hours?
No, I put it this way.
I'll let you guys.
And I tell people this, and it's funny because Larry Marmee came back, okay? Larry Lacewell left for the Cowboys. Larry Marmee comes in, right? And we're just, you know, just kind of bullshitting one day. Excuse my language.
good.
And he goes, you know, he says, this place is a special place. And I go, well, what do you mean? He says, when you leave here, he said, everything else is downhill.
Wow.
And he was the head coach at Arizona State.
Right.
You know, and he was the coordinator at Ohio State. You know, so that tells you something, you know. And trust me, some of my greatest memories of college football is at the University of Tennessee.
Yeah.
Because it is a special place. It really is. The town's great. It's just the right size. I mean, there's places when, because again, I traveled everywhere in the country, everywhere as a national scout. There's only about six or seven places that have everything, you know, to be a sell.
Yeah.
And Knoxville's one of them. You know, Tennessee's one of them. I mean, it's just, it's hard to put all those in there. You go like, hey, is Michigan really got a great city? No. You know, now Columbus is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
I'm just talking about recruiting, having kids there, having something to sell them. And there's very few places out there that have it. Very few.
Before I let you go, 92, Heath Shuler against Georgia. I know I love Andy Kelly, but Drew, that 92 game in Athens, Heath Shuler was a superman that day.
We smoked him. You know, we smoked him. And I can tell you the nickname the Ray Goff had.
Oh, no.
Buckethead. take a look at the pictures. The man had a cranium the size of a fucking beach ball.
Oh, what a day.
Oh, no. And I'll tell you this, too. There was another little nickname of the one who was at Auburn, too. So, you remember who that was?
I do not. Terry. Dan White?
Terry Bowden.
Oh, I know Terry well.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was your coach, right?
Terry was my coach at Samford.
Okay.
A long time ago.
No, hey, Samford's a great spot. Love Samford.
Yeah. Yes.
I think Hatcher's still there, right?
He is. Yep. Yeah. I got in trouble one time for imitating Terry. I used a step stool and word got back and Terry was not happy.
I'm not saying that I came up with the nickname, but there were people that called him Buster Brown.
Oh yeah.
You know? Yeah. And you and I know age-wise.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah, Drew, Key Stadel 6 now. Well, I
mean, if you really want to, because I'm not going to get Kirby, so I mean.
Oh, man.
And again, I mean, heck, if you want me to keep going, I can keep going for a little bit if you want.
I have to ask this.
Okay.
You know, how long were you with the Cowboys?
Ooh, 18 years.
Okay.
Whoa.
Yeah,
18 years. You're a national scout. You're going around and looking at these guys. Mm-hmm. What are the meetings like with Jerry, when Jerry's, because he's the GM, he's the one making the pick, but sitting there with him, because I feel like he does know ball a lot more than people might think he does.
He knows a hell of a lot of ball.
Yeah.
And people don't realize it. And I can tell you this, the greatest part that I think both of them share, both Steven and Jerry, is I think why they're really good businessmen is because they listen intently. And they're in on every meeting. We present every single player to them. They know the board. They're helping us stack the board. You know, and people don't understand that. They really don't. Now, again, he is a wildcatter. And when that phone rings, he wants to trade, you know. And it's whether up or down, he wants to play, you know. And he's just a wildcatter at heart. He really is. And I love him to death. I mean, they were always, you know, great to me. It just got to a point where that the travel was just insane. I mean, I sat there for probably a day just kind of going through, you know, with my wife, like why I should stay, what I should do, you know, and this will flip you out. I looked at my Bonvoy membership finally, the whole total.
Yes.
I was there 18 years and I spent 13 and a half of it in a hotel room.
Jeez.
That's disgusting.
Cow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're traveling all over.
Yeah. And then here's the other piece of it. There's, you know, the levels. I'm lifetime titanium. And I never have to stay one more damn day. Right. And every place I go, I get a suite if there's a suite available. Right.
Good.
Well, I should.
Yeah.
For 13 and a half years worth.
Right.
You know? So, I mean,
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. But no, the Joneses are great people. And I love my time with them. I really did.
Our afternoon show host does a great impersonation of him, of like when he won. It's like
I do too, but
I want him.
I'm not going to do it, but no, he's always been great to me. And like I said, I've got tons and tons of stories about, you know, being around him. But the one thing I can tell you is that he takes a lot of heat, you know, for the wrong reasons.
Sure.
You know, he does. And I promise you, I have never been around a better businessman ever. And he's prepared me for this too.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. You know, because again, I'm going like, okay, there's value in that. Oh, there's value in that. Why are you not paying this for this? Why are you not spending money on this? I mean, I know where that's coming from because I used to hear that coming out of his mouth, you know, and the league, yeah, they made put him in the Hall of Fame for a reason and he deserved it because he made it a revenue driven, you know, game.
Sure.
To where all these owners are flipping billionaires because of him.
Oh, yes.
They are.
That's great. So, Drew, thank you.
Oh, good. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me.
Drew Fabianich with us, the Panini Senior Bowl new sponsor. Nice. Panini's had to get that in there. Really looking nice, forward Chase. To it, and thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah, appreciate you.
More coming guys. From Radio Row, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Live from Digital Drive, Radio Row, whatever you want to call it, Big Joe's house.
Right.
Here in Atlanta.
Again, Brewhouse South. Thank
yes.
you so much.
Yeah. Joe is living his best life right now.
Well, it's funny because Gunnar Stockton came by. We were talking to Drew Fabianich from the Panini Senior Bowl, and I swear I thought he was an intern. I was like, where are they going?
Excuse me, young man. Could you get me some coffee?
And they're like, this is Georgia quarterback. I'm like, he looks 12. Can you imagine the pressure Gunnar Stockton has on him as quarterback at Georgia? Because it's like, well, Georgia's going to be good, but Georgia might go all the way, but, and you're talking about the quarterback.
Yeah.
That's the question that everybody wants to know.
Brewhouse South, experience Nashville's ultimate sports and brew hangout at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs, our proud sponsor of our SEC Media Days coverage, and we appreciate them for sure. Greg McElroy going to join us here in just a few minutes. So is Kirby standing like right over next where we are? Or?
I think he's in the bathroom.
Oh.
But, yeah, he is up here next to us.
Why don't you go in there?
I think he's in the bathroom. Hey, Kirby, are you here? You got a quick second? Underneath the stall. Hey, can you talk to the microphone real quick? What's going on? Is Heupel here?
Go Dogs.
Is Heupel now up?
Yes, Josh Heupel is at the podium.
Okay. The times have been kind of rearranged a little bit here today. But, yeah, Kirby's making his rounds up here, and then you freeze earlier, and now hopefully Josh
Joe,
will
fix
come
that
by.
Mic for me there, bud.
Is it making you a little upset? There we go. There you Chase, go. Thanks.
You're welcome.
I just got excited talking Tennessee football with Drew.
Well, Fedora. I got excited talking Cowboys.
18 years.
I mean, can you imagine sitting in the pre-draft meeting with, and I know Steven's a big part of it now too, Steven Jones, but you got all the scouts, you got the coaches, and Jerry Jones.
Right.
And you're like, okay. You know, I got this guy. He's a defensive end from wherever.
Troy.
You know, and then you like, and then they hit on one player, and Jerry does that. I want him.
Right.
Let's go get him. Steven, make some calls. Let's get him.
Well, how much can you stand up to Jerry Jones? Like, I want this guy, and you're like, Jerry, he's not the answer.
Yeah.
I mean, how much can you push back to him? I don't know how much you could do that.
I mean, and it's funny what he said, and it's cool to hear people that actually know him and have worked with him of like, you know, he kind of has this reputation that's really not accurate.
Right.
I can tell one time I was, I think it was my first or second trip up to the combine, and I went to, I think it was with Chris Childers, actually. I went to this event, and we pull up and there's a giant Cowboys bus sitting out front.
Yes, I know you're talking about.
And
yeah.
It's Jerry's, and so we go in and like there's a bunch of people there and a couple of media and just everybody's having drinks and a good time, and Jerry's upstairs having dinner, and so I go up to the bar and I'm like, hey, can I get a beer? And they hand it to me, and I go, how much do I owe you? And he goes, oh, Mr. Jones took care of it. Like, he had bought the whole bar.
Oh. Oh, my goodness.
I'm like, Mr. Who? So,
well, I guess you're worth a couple billion, then, you can get if you want.
And then he walks downstairs, and it's like the president is walking into the room. Like, everybody stops and looks, and he's waving. He's like, how y'all doing? Y'all have a good night. Go Cowboys.
Yeah. Remember, he bought the awesome. Cowboys in 89. He bought them for 51%.
Yeah.
So he had the majority, and it took off. Oh, Kirby's waiting for you? There you go, Drew.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Drew Fabianich, Panini Senior Bowl.
No, we're good. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Drew. Yeah. It's rolling now. We're the place. Chase McCabe and I are the place to be up here on Radio.
I know. Yeah. It was just been fun so far. But coming up next, Greg McElroy is going to join us. He made a little news yesterday. I don't know if he really intended that, and he does. We're going to ask him about that. I think he's going to clear some of that up. But you made a little news with Coach Saban and what his future might look like. But Greg McElroy from ESPN and the SEC Network is going to join us coming up next. It is Chase and Big Joe. We are live from Digital Drive here at SEC Kickoff Media Days. Tennessee speaking right now. And, again, all of our coverage is presented by Brewhouse South and also great locations on Highway 100 in Bellevue, Charlotte Pike, Nashville West. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.